put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, August 3rd, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to go ahead and get started because heaven forbid we have an extended musical interlude. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. Some of us are on the road now, as long as we have a road, you know. Compliments of... it was the Eisenhower administration, wasn't it? I want to say Truman or Eisenhower. I think it was Eisenhower. Anyway, and that's all supposed to change soon. Bad guys want robots to drive, which reminds me of Will Smith and iRobot, that scene. You know, you are experiencing, what was it? You're experiencing an accident. The heck I am. Anyway. We're all road warriors for the time being. And have we been reading James Otis lately? I think that that spirit really is sort of a touchstone of, or a touchstone, excuse me, of Americana, in my opinion. Perhaps I digress. So, this is the Road Warrior Radio broadcast exclusively on Republic Broadcasting Network. And so do I say the first rule of Road Warrior Radio is we don't talk about. I'm sort of hinting back at the last conversation that we had on Wednesday's broadcast, hour two. And, you know, we've been trying to... I've been trying to hold to a more informal format on Fridays, particularly. And so we'll do that today. A loosely knit broadcast. And I welcome your calls and the dialogue. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And... So we'll do that. If you want to chat, let's do it. But in the meantime, I didn't really get through everything on Wednesday that I mentioned a few things. Yes, I repeat myself. There are important subjects that I don't think are covered. James Otis is one of those. Who's talking about James Otis? And yet I have repeated several times what John Adams said about James Otis. Why is it, do you suppose, that the knowledge of James Otis and his importance, his significance in his role, his profound and can't think of the word. Well, his instrumental role in the changes that occurred that precipitated the American Revolution and these monumental political changes. Why do you suppose we don't hear about him? Isn't it curious? Is anyone else curious about that? This is a guy of whom John Adams said, as I have repeated several times, John Adams referred to him as to have been the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. It seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten. Yet, who knows who James Otis is these days? It was Chris in Las Vegas, I think, who said he thought that James Otis, you know, was relative to the Otis Elevator Company. I think that's how we all are sort of conditioned to think in America. Why? Because James Otis, and particularly that defense of the Boston merchants back in 1761, he really encapsulated this notion of freedom. And you look back now to, you know, some of the photographs that were taken. I mean, coming out of the uncivil war era, the war of Northern aggression, or the more accurately, the war of Eastern European banking aggression. You might argue it was all over but the crying, basically. But still, you look at those photographs, you know, folks who lived a rugged and hardy life, something that resembled what Mark Twain wrote about. You know, the experiences of, I mean, imagine what parent these days in a helmet and bubble wrap society would allow the sorts of experiences that shaped Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, for example. So it's, you know, it's an entirely different, worlds apart, you know, mindset entirely different. So those things, I think, bear repeating. John Adams believed that repeating James Otis was important. And also that letter to Hezekiah Niles that I refer to often, especially this year, a lot, 200 years later. Important. When we speak of the revolution, what do we mean? John Adams asked. Do we mean the war? No. The revolution occurred before the war. It was in the hearts and the minds of the people. So, you know, there were some interesting points raised on Wednesday's last call from Bob in North Carolina specifically. So, you know, I think we'll go over that. Still not sure what all of those things mean, but I don't know. Hopefully, Bob, if you want to call back in and sort of expound or elaborate on the points you were making. And we'll go from there. We'll see what happens. Anyway, here's an interesting thing. On republicbroadcasting.org, there are some interesting articles, as always. I want to just mention some of that technology-related stuff I mentioned on Wednesday. But for the moment, let's start here. There's the article that was posted today, I guess, it looks like. actually yesterday, I think. So, two articles, they're companions, you know. We hold these truths, WHTT. One is by Pastor Don Preston, is modern-day Israel a fulfillment of prophecy? Well, I would say yes, but not in the way that most folks believe. That whole Israel was created in a day nonsense. Oh my goodness. Hogwash. Do a little bit of homework. And the more you dig, the more you'll scratch your head. Did Israel, this British incarnation, did it just magically appear in a day? You know, what about the British mandate? What about the Balfour Declaration? What about Sykes-Picot? What about the purchase of the massive land purchase by Baron Edmund de Rothschild, an ardent Zionist? What about all of that? And there's much more. You know, what about all of that? That history goes back, that history goes back more than 50 years. And, you know, you have the convening of the World Zionist Congress just before the turn of the 20th century, and that was a sort of parallel effort to the Fabian Society and Rhodes Milner roundtable machinations and all that kind of fun stuff. So, you know, there's at least 50 years of documented history that cannot be ignored. So that's the sort of the uncomfortable starting point for folks. And it's really interesting. I've talked at length about how pervasive the propaganda is, or the warped perspective on this. And you know, just as an example, I've had conversations with friends. One in particular I've known for a long time, many years. And every time we happen upon this conversation, he always says, "But Chris, don't you support Israel?" And I always say, "Yes, absolutely. But let's define terms. You know, the biblical Israel. Is it possible that there is a counterfeit?" And, you know, it's interesting, it's particularly provocative when Jesus says in Matthew 24, you have these repeated warnings, take care. In other words, it's a proactive, it's a call to proaction, I guess. It's a call to be proactive, not passive, not passively sit idly by, but take care that you not be deceived. That's how his remarks open. Chapter 24. What does he say? Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of war. You will be hearing of NATO and rumors of NATO." Richard Sakwa says that NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence. Have you seen the movie, by the way? Just, I mean, it's Friday, so, you know, a little bit of non sequitur. Have you seen Two Guns with Denzel and Marky Mark? Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg? I think that's, I mean, to me, that's like a documentary, basically. Speaking of wars and rumors of wars, and that list of infamy from Hosea chapter 4, before you know, the remark about my people being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Before that, these verses, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. sons of Israel, not state of Israel. Who was Israel? Who had his name changed? Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because they're, so basically it's a chain of command. It's addressing down in the chain of command. You guys were the keepers of the oracles of God, and because of your dereliction of duty, the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. In other words, people don't know what they should know. Are we in the same place today in America? Are there the simple little things? You know, as crazy as it sounds in this world where we're battered day in and day out, bashed, basically pulverized by these talking points. You know, like abortion isn't murder. No, it's murder. Just the simple things, you know, that homosexuality is unnatural. It is. And that's why, you know, I mean, it falls into the same sort of discussion as climate science. When you feel you need to duct tape the word science on the end of that statement, or that term, it's pretty obvious what's going on, isn't it? Anyway, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. Gosh, that sounds like America today, doesn't it? Because there is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in the land. What is there? Because there is none of this, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. That sounds like a recipe for a successful Hollywood blockbuster, doesn't it? Swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery, employing violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Again, have you seen Two Guns? Oh my goodness. Hit movie has all of that. You know, it's more like a documentary. Anyway, Matthew 24, Jesus says, you know, see to it. No one misleads you. See to it. So, you know, I think that's a call to action, obviously, to be proactive and to be on the lookout for deception. Not in a sort of conspiratorial way, but that deception is, you know, it abounds. Anyway, so Pastor Don Preston has an interesting little 3-page deal that you can download the PDF on the article. Is Modern Day Israel Fulfillment of Prophecy? Yes, I would say it's the deception, the counterfeit, the sort of preempting of, or the attempt at preempting God's plan. Why? Well, there are a variety of reasons, but one of the provocative points that I'll come back to comes from Jaron Lanier in his book, You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, when he talks about the similarities of the singularity and the Christian rapture, so-called. So that's an interesting article. And then Chuck Baldwin challenges End Times Theology of Zionized Christians. That's a companion article to the other. Anyway, we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT.
So a couple of things. I have repeated these before, but Waleed Khalidi, you know, his article about, you can find these over at JSTOR, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's Blueprint for the Colonization of Palestine. Have you read that? Do you know that, you know, the document, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company for the settlement of Palestine and Syria, the document does not bear a date, but seems to have been drawn up sometime between the summer of 1901 and early 1902. Its authors seem to have been principally Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism, Arminius Vámbry, a Hungarian Orientalist of Jewish descent. Vámbry was not only close to Herzl, but also Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan. That's an interesting document, an agreement, draft proposal between World Zionist Organization, the WZO, and the Ottoman government concerning the, quote, privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company for the settlement of Palestine and Syria. That's an interesting document. And speaking of Waleed Khalidi, check out Plan Dalet, master plan for the conquest of Palestine. These opening words, here you go. Zionism's responsibility for the Palestinian exodus and diaspora is an integral part of the genesis of the state of Israel. The state of Israel is not the biblical Israel. And that's all there is to it. Anyway, to the phones we go. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, I think they freely admit that, by the way.
Yeah.
They call themselves Israelis and not
right.
Israelites. But,
exactly.
And that's official from their State Department, as I understand it. But, you know, I was going to talk about
this
subject, but before I go on to the couple of my points there, but you, as I flipped over to RPN, I heard you say something about something you did not want to talk about today, and in reference to Wednesday, I don't know what you were referring to.
No, I was kidding. The only rule is that we don't, you know, it's an allusion to Fight Club and Bob's remarks about Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge.
I don't even know what Fight Club is, so.
Okay. Right on.
Out of the loop.
Moving on.
Okay.
Just a little cheeky humor, that's all.
Okay. Something, I'm out of the loop on, but anyway. Creation groans for the revealing of the sons of Yah, or God, and so I think, you know, that is kind of a core purpose for creation. And Revelation, I think it's 9, warns us to, and I've thrown a few people for a loop when I've said this because they're so couched into this, Judeo-Zionist mindset, but I've said, look, if these are the last days that you're constantly talking about, then you need to be able to identify who the Jews are that say they are Jews but are not and are of the synagogue of Satan, and what is the strong delusion. If you can't, you have to start wondering if you're under the delusion.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that you don't hear that in any of the so-called pulpits. You hear that in the pulpit of RBN, for example. You hear about Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 on this network with, I would say, a fair degree of regularity.
No,
why don't we?
You're all anti-Semitic and listed as troublemakers by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Right, and the ACLU, absolutely, but definitely on the SPLC's hate speech list, sure.
Well, tell me this, and I threw a whole church into silence when I mentioned this. I think it's in Daniel. You keep talking about the suspension of the 70th week of Daniel and all this hoops you have to jump through. When you see the power of the holy people has finally been broken, what is the power of the holy people?
Yeah, that's
when,
a good question.
When or what would be broken? Because that's a major sign from the book of Daniel, and they keep talking about the suspension of the 70th week of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big when you see the power of the holy people has finally, like once for all, been broken. Then you will see these things come to pass. But what is, you have to go, well, what's the power of the holy people? Don't you be able to know? They understand that sign. Kind of a loaded question.
Yeah.
The power of the holy people, I think, if you think about it, you know, what they did when they traveled around in the wilderness, they set up this tabernacle and they did their sacrifices, and the power of the holy people was supposedly the authorized priests under the proper lineage and genealogy brought down the Spirit of God to accept the sacrifice in the heavens and earth of the inner rooms of the temple. Jesus, you're not to seek for me in the inner rooms of the temple. What happened in 70 AD?
Hold that thought, Mike. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back. All right. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, August 3rd, 2018. You know, do people take time to even read what is printed? Just a brief aside on the whole British Israel thing. Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs, MFA.gov.il. Declaration of Establishment of State of Israel. I mean, this is, the state of Israel, the British Israel, even says in the declaration. Read it for yourself. From the text, you know, again, mfa.gov.il, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. You'll find these words in the document. In the year 5657 or 1897, at the summons of the spiritual father of the Jewish state, Who was that? You would think, you know, some... No, Theodore Herzl. The first Zionist Congress convened and proclaimed the right of the Jewish people to national rebirth. The first Zionist Congress was convened and proclaimed the right of the Jewish people to national rebirth of its own country, 1897. This right was recognized in the Balfour Declaration on the 2nd, November 2nd, 1917, and reaffirmed in the mandate of the League of Nations, which in particular gave international sanction to the historic connection between the Jewish people and Eretz Israel, and to the right of the Jewish people to rebuild its national home. Blah, 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 blah. But does that sound, I mean, that's the declaration, for Pete's sake. Does that sound like a magical overnight occurrence to anyone? I think it's laughable. You know, people that get sucked into this, mesmerization, Illuminized mesmerization, and don't even bother reading the document. Doesn't that sound like a kind of an interesting little head scratcher? Anyway, that's an aside. We're talking about, we're on the phones. We have Mike in Kentucky on the line. Mike, you were talking about Daniel 12:7 specifically, and that phrase, the power of the holy people, which is an interesting one. I would have to study. Honestly,
that doesn't get taught in church. That's one thing that a woman took me aside after this one guy said something about the sign of the end times, and I blurted it out. I said, when you see the sign of the power, when you see the power of the holy people has finally been broken. He was asking for signs of the end times. And I said, when you see that the power of the holy people has finally been broken, then all these things will come to pass, I think is what the whole phrase is. But it set the whole church to silence because it's not been taught. I mean, that's a major sign there in the book of Daniel.
The shattering.
So you must know what the heck the power of the holy people was.
And yeah,
I believe that was the exclusive relationship they had with Yahweh, and such that they could offer animal sacrifices on a regular basis when they kept the calendar, when they kept the high holy Sabbaths, where they were supposed to do these, I think, four times in the year. And it's always on the whatever, the 14th of whatever month, which it's a lunar calendar, so duh, there's always going to be lunar eclipses that occur on when in the middle of the month, the month. But what you mentioned there earlier, I'd love to find it. I'm sure people can email me and find me. There's enough people that listen in on Republic Broadcasting to know who I am. But there is a, and I was helping a youngster with their homework probably 20 years ago in their middle school history book, a photocopy or a picture of Truman's Declaration for the Recognition of Israel, and he had marked it out after his press secretary typed it up. He had edited it, and I cannot find the copy that I remember seeing, where he marked through the word United States or the phrase United States, and wrote in this government, and he also put a caret in and wrote in the word de facto. So he changed it from saying the United States recognizes the state of Israel to this government recognizes the de facto state of Israel, which I thought was very interesting at the time. I just heard that the United States had was in a status of de facto, and that the Confederate States of America never was able to achieve the status of de facto or de jure. That's right in Black's Law Dictionary. But so I thought that was very curious that Truman would edit that press secretary's statement like that. You know, it's like, okay, so this de facto state of Israel is in place, and I didn't at the time I didn't realize the significance of them calling themselves Israelis versus Israelites, the biblical Israelites. They make no claim to be the biblical Israelites.
Yeah.
It is a land company to acquire Palestine.
Right.
I think it's what they bought. And how many times, I'm sure the Palestinians see this, they are parasites of this money creature that shuffles around with usury and schemes in the market to manufacture money. So...
Hypothesis.
How many times can you buy my property with monopoly money that you print up? You can't really buy it. It's a perception management game. And so some of the Palestinians are onto that, and they've tried to buy their land several times, and they won't, you know, they won't sell, so they end up, you know, chopping down their, because that's one of the things in the laws of nations is that if you till the soil, this is a sign that you, that is your domicile. You have a permanent home, and you cultivate the soil. That's under the curse of Adam, you know. Adam was cursed to till the soil. And unfortunately, a lot of the law, the common law, is built upon the biblical law. And so the laws of nations, you know, when they're looking to, when they were looking to establish nations, that's the factors to establish a people's right to their land, is that they've been there for a long time, they cultivate the soil, they live there. They're not vagabonds, they're not, you know, riding around on camels or, you know, whatever, gypsies or that sort of stuff, where they roam around and don't really have a permanent dwelling. They don't have a claim to the land if that's the case. That's one of the things I think they were able to rob the, or whatever you think of, they were able to, you know, claim that a lot of the original nations here in America did not have a claim to the land because they followed the buffalo herds around or they were nomadic. They didn't have any permanent structures. They just built, you know, grass huts, and, of course, they all fought amongst each other. So it meant that they were sort of indigent vagabonds or something, whatever, before the law. So a lot of the westernized mind and the Christianized mind did not have consider their claims to the land legitimate. But, yeah, you know, and I think that's the same thing with the Palestinians. So the Native Americans, original nations, have a lot in common with the Palestinians. you know, if they're chopping down 1,000-year, 2,000-year-old olive groves, then how is that legal or lawful in any way?
Yeah, and that's a point that's made resoundingly a number of times and can't probably be come back to enough. You know, I like those shirts, Homeland Security since 1492.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, John Hagee and they did this whole thing of books, and I call them book salesmen, about the blood moons and the harbinger of things to come and this kind of stuff, and there's all these blood moons and these eclipses.
Yeah, I conveniently missed mentioning last Friday's, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, they always are going to occur on some middle of the month calendar day for the Jewish Hebrew calendar because it's based on the moon, and that's when eclipses of the moon occur, and the vast majority of the eclipses are going to be a blood moon just because of the penumbra effect of the light bending around the earth. It bends the red light differently. So as it passes into, you know, the blacker area of eclipse, most of them are going to be blood moons, and they're always going to occur in the middle of the Hebrew month. Now, that was unique. The last set of tetrads occurred, each one on a Sabbath, but the one in the 1490s that occurred when the Spanish government finally got fed up with them and got rid of them and ran them out of the country, that happened after they were ran out of the country. So who was that a harbinger to? I would think it would be more of a harbinger to the Native Americans. Here comes these people that are going to bring you smallpox and all this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, if it's they were the ones that it was a harbinger to, not the Jewish people, because it happened afterwards. If it's going to be a sign, it's going to happen before before something, not after. And that's one of the things John Hagee pointed out was the 1948 tetrads was some kind of a sign for the state of Israel. Well, if it was this harbinger, it would happen before, not afterwards. So I thought that was, you know, one of the more recent thing that just went through like wildfire through the Christian churches or the Zionist churches, if you want to call them that, Christian Zionism or Judeo-Christians,
which,
whatever.
It's sort of an oxymoron, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the power of the holy people was finally been broken. That would, I think, culturally, and we have to consider that we are reading other people's mail, and we have to put it in the context of that culture. When, you know, the phrase heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, was said what heavens and earth was he talking about? The power of the holy people at that time, and going back to the generation that wandered in the wilderness, according to Hebrews 3, somebody's flashing me a sign here, yard sales are bust. That's funny. Anyway, we got a big yard sale day here in Kentucky. Somebody wants to go yard selling, but the temple that they had in the wilderness, supposedly they were able to draw down Yahweh to accept their sacrifice or reject their sacrifice, and the legend has it, if the priest was not pure, he would be killed. So they tied a bell to his foot so they know to drag out his dead body. If he was impure, the sacrifice was not accepted. That's the cultural idea. That's where heaven met earth, and that's depicted in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? You got this French archaeologist that's arrogant enough to put on the priestly accoutrements and try to do a Jewish ritual with the Ark of the Covenant, and what happens? He gets melted, right? Yeah. Like wax dolls. So I don't think the Ark of the Covenant exists anymore, and I think that that was part of the power of the holy people being broken. And in the 1600s English, what would you translate? We didn't, people of the day did not know the periodic table, the elements. That was, witchcraft, alchemy or something. So when you talk about the elements melting with fervent heat, there's all these precious metals that were in the temple. The walls were laden with gold. There was chinking put in the walls so that, you could walk in there and light the whole temple up, the Holy of Holies, with one candle, let alone seven, or whatever, on the menorah. But the menorah was made out of brass, I think, or gold-laden stuff. There's all these, the incense shovels were brass. The Roman Empire was built on metal. So all that stuff was melted down, melted with fervent heat. All of their elements of the faith were destroyed in 70 A.D. The power of the holy people was broken. So you have to look at that in context in Daniel. And I think that's when, when you say that in front of a congregation and they fall silent because none of them know what that means.
Yeah.
Where is the edification in their services?
Yeah, and, those are the kinds of things I think that the Holy Spirit would impress upon the hearts of people to search out. I'm not going to say that I'm a subject matter expert.
It's a linchpin. It's a linchpin to understand, I think, to your understanding. And so you should lean not to your own understanding, but, as the phrase goes, rightly divide and all that. If Scripture can define Scripture, which we've had this Protestant revolution, as Martin Luther said, sola scriptura. Hebrews 3 says what the meaning of generation should be, in reference to the New Testament culture. Hebrews 3 makes a direct reference to the generation that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So when he said, this generation shall not pass away before all these things come to pass, you've got a time clock of about 40 years from the time he was crucified to when the power of the holy people was broken. So I think that ties it all up in a nice, neat bow. And when you go back and look to the scriptures in context of the culture, to the people that was being written to, then you start to agree a little bit more with Don Preston. Otherwise, he sounds like a heretic. When Philetus and them were going, look, not everything is going on just like before. Nothing's changed since our fathers fell asleep. All things continue as before. That was before the temple was destroyed, and these priests, after everything had happened and all the signs that happened at the crucifixion and the temple curtain being rent in two and all this stuff, they picked themselves up, dusted themselves off, and continued right on with their rituals, whether they did anything or not. They made the law of none effect, and all that stuff that happened, they didn't go, uh-oh, we crucified the Son of God. No, they went right back to their money-changing ways, and 40 years was the end of Most High's patience with that. Boom. The power of the holy people was broken. So now you have to go back and relook at the ink blots with that lens and stop seeing the old lady and look and see the young woman, the new church. We are in the church age. When does it have an end?
As it, you know, it's an interesting perspective. And again, that passage in Daniel 12:7, I won't say that I.
Well, search it out.
It begs further investigation.
Yes, it
anyway.
Does. Thank you. Talk
Thanks,
to you
Mike.
Later.
Bye. I appreciate it. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I trace my bloodline. And it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, "You will never leave Harlan." Well, my granddad's dad walked down Kettering's mountain, and he asked Tilly Hilton to be his bride. Said, "Oh, won't you walk with me out of the mouth of this holler? Oh, we'll never leave a holler alive." Where the sun comes up about 10 in the morning, and the sun goes down about 3 in the day, and you fill your cup
with whatever bitter brew you're drinking. You spend your life just thinking of how to get away.
Welcome back.
No one ever knew.
Enough with the extended musical interludes. What were we thinking? Just kidding. Final segment of the first hour. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
You took the words out of my mouth, Chris. I was going to say, I don't particularly care for that extended musical interlude. Anyway, apparently Dan liked Mike's call. So kudos to Mike. I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
He brought up at the beginning of his conversation, he brought up those that say they are Jews and are not, and how he basically caught slack in the church for trying to reveal the truth. And I just wanted to say, you know, years ago, I actually asked a preacher, who are the synagogue of Satan Jews that Christ is revealing to John in the book of Revelation? He's revealing Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John.
Yeah.
So who are they? Jesus said that he knew who they were, and apparently, Chris, you and I and anyone else is to know who they are. And the reply that I got from this preacher is, well, we don't have any way of knowing. And I said, well, don't you think that we ought to try to, and I already knew, don't you think that we ought to try to find out who they are? If Jesus said that it was blasphemous, that they said they were and were not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, he said, well, yeah, I guess we ought to. I said, so who is it? Kind of asking it rhetorically, who is it that says they're the Jewish state, and where do they worship? You know, and what use is it, and seriously, what use is a synagogue after the temple had been destroyed, after the last lamb was sacrificed on the cross? What need has anyone got of a synagogue, a temple, the rebuilding of the temple in Israel, and initiating animal sacrifice again? If I were God, Chris, that might kind of tweak me. I might be a little upset, unless, of course, I knew they didn't belong to me. I'm still going to be upset, but they're not mine. They are of their father, who is not our father. But, it's Mike's call made absolute sense. Is he correct? He may be. Is there also something else that is correct? There may be. You know, kind of a, I don't want to say a dual fold truth. Probably hear a plane going over. But, it was a very good call. And we are to know who they are that say they are and are not.
I agree. Second hour coming up, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.